The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat?' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Invite you to be seated. So our reaction to this parable is very revealing, says a lot about where we are in the moment, in our minds and hearts. Did you find it unfair? As in, what about the laborers who worked in the scorching heat? They deserve better treatment than that. Not fair. Or did you rejoice with the final laborers, delighting in their unexpected windfall? If you were part of the unfair group, thinkers, then perhaps you identify with those who work very hard in life. And if you felt relief for the last, lucky workers, then perhaps you identify with those in the moment who are given much but don't deserve it. Now, religious insiders, that is, people who know their way around their religion, the Bible, the faith, the church, including pastors, usually tend to identify with that first group, hard workers. This parable is one of the many parables that Jesus tells in attempt to keep insiders honest with themselves. The punchline, "Are you envious because I am generous?" is actually a Hebrew saying that literally translates, "Is your eye evil because I am good?" Imagine, to all insiders, Jesus says, "Is your eye evil because I am good?" Sounds pretty harsh to people who work so hard for God. Shouldn't they be rewarded for their work? Not only does it sound unfair, but it also doesn't make sense in terms of our life in the world. Who'd want to work hard all day if they knew they wouldn't be rewarded for it, right? Which is the way that God works in the world, through reward and punishment, that is, through justice, in order to restrain evil and promote good. However, we're not talking about the world, the left hand of God, we're talking about the right hand of God, the kingdom of God. This parable begins, "The kingdom of heaven is like God's kingdom, the realm of salvation is not found on justice is not rooted in justice. It's rooted in God's forgiveness. See, God's heartfelt desire is to go beyond justice to mercy. That's what Luther called his proper work. He did his alien work to restrain evil and promote good. The trouble with insiders, the first laborers, is that they don't realize that they're at the landowner's mercy, that they're not really in control. They're at the landowner's mercy. Just like last week's parable about the unforgiving slave who couldn't own up to the fact that he could really never pay his debt back. This, I think, is a good description of sin. Denying the bigger picture and making it all about me. I mean, isn't it the landowner's choice to do whatever he wants with what he has? And he chooses to be generous, or Jesus says, good, giving abundantly to those who don't deserve it. So what this parable does is it asks the question, do insiders, religious insiders, deserve more from God? And that question could be asked in many ways to reveal how we try to make it about us, such as, do Christians deserve special treatment by God because we're Christians? Or a question that a lot of people ask, whether they're Christian or not, do people deserve special treatment by God because they try to be good? Nope, Jesus says. And just to make it crystal clear, he almost offends us by saying, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Beyond equal, beyond justice, to reversal. You see how he keeps us honest? The world might see our works, and that's what God's left hand is about, but God can see our hearts and our intentions, including trying to get something other than God's mercy by being Christian or doing good. Goodness doesn't keep a scorecard. Goodness is its own rule. Goodness acts out of goodness, just for goodness' sake. And being Christian simply means trusting God that we're forgiven. Trusting God. Jesus proclaims the first shall be last and the last shall be first. So that we know it's not about us. We're not in control. Not in control of God's mercy, nor of the church, nor of salvation. And no matter how we see it, even with a jealous or evil eye, God is still good. God still gives mercy abundantly, forgiving us even before we ask, yearning for all to hear about this unconditional forgiveness, especially those who are wrecked by a sense of guilt or shame. And this merciful God comes to us through the word and in the meal, comes to us himself. In the second reading, the Apostle Paul reflects on what God's forgiveness does to us. It raises up the trusting in God one within us. The new creation, Paul calls it. Here we have Paul's amazing witness to Christ stuck between two kind of humorous readings, the first reading and the gospel reading. We have poor petulant Jonah, and Mike, I thought you read it really well. His petulance really came out. Who's honest enough to say he doesn't want God to be merciful to certain people. And then we have the in denial vineyard laborers who think that they can tell God what to do. Between these two humorous, realistic pictures of broken humanity, we catch a glimpse of the new creation that Christ raises up within Paul, whose eyes search the ways God is working through him, even in times of suffering. He doesn't try to claim points with God for suffering. He really looks forward to death to end the suffering. But then he also worries about what that would mean to his brothers and sisters. God raises up this new creation in and among us, too, in you, as he comes to you through the word and gives you faith. There are glimpses of the new creation that God raises up in and among us. Sometimes they're easy to spot. They're the ones thanking God when it looks like there's nothing in their life that they should be thanking God about. They're very poor or suffering. They're the ones rejoicing with their late coming brother or sister in Christ who's received far more mercy than they've deserved from God, rejoicing because they know how it feels. And now, the Lord, who is gracious and full of compassion, keep you in his unfair, unconditional, steadfast mercy. Amen.